Welcome to another wonderful episode of the Dadcast. Another one of my favorite people. I keep saying this. I usually don't get on this podcast with just anybody. I'm very intentional about knowing people's story, knowing what they mean to me, knowing what they've gone through. And it's very important to get and have conversations, you know what I mean? And learn, because iron sharpens iron. And I really wish I would have turned this doggone podcast on earlier, because we just talked for about 3 hours with about five different men and had some amazing conversations. But, you know, I'm gonna just go with the flow and respect the fact that he and I are now alone and we have this opportunity to just be. So with that said, bro, I want to tell you I love you, I respect you. I have we respect each other's real cold and what's the word I'm looking for? Not cold, but raw. Raw voice, you know what I'm saying? Like, we've never taken anything personal.
Ever.
You know what I'm saying? We've gone at each other on the court. We've gone times. At each other on the field. You know what I'm saying? We've gone at each other.
That's true.
And still respected each other's gangster, still respected each other's manhood, you know? And it's always been love, man. I love your smile, man. I love, you know, your homeboys. Man, it's a pleasure to have you here, man.
Appreciate it.
I got
nothing
but respect for you, man. Nothing but respect. Let's start here. You obviously did not have dad in your life.
I didn't. First, I want to extend the love back to you. Tell you I love you more man to man.
Respect.
We, you know, men, I feel we need to say that to each other more.
Absolutely.
Excuse me. Sorry, can I use your charger for a second? Sorry, I'm just going to bring the cord in the other room.
We listen. I'm
listening. And not, you know, growing up with women, I think is why I'm able to express my love and feelings for each other. Not that I got that growing up, but I think, men, if we could be vulnerable and say we love each other more, you know, it speaks volumes to, you know, just making somebody feel better. You know, you hear your bro, somebody, you know, that you know come from the same cloth, may grew up different, but just come from a tougher environment that may doesn't conduce love. You know, like my bro, he's gone now, but, you know, as we got older, we met at 12, and just in his maturation and become a great father that he was, it was something as we saw each other progressing from children to teenagers to he's a father, you know, I'm a man chasing my goals, but we always told each other, bro, I love you and we're proud of you. And so just seeing him, how he was with his children, you know, neither of us had our dads in our lives growing up. One, we never made an excuse. But two, I think part of that is the reason why the both of us were so driven and just, you know, just always had the hustle in us. And maybe we get the hustle from our mom, and that's, you know, just an innate emptiness that says, I will not be in my children's life. You know what I'm saying? And I'll make sure, like, if my son or daughter wants to play basketball, football, she wants to be, you know, the next Simone Biles and being a dope gymnast, or she wants to be an artist, or she wants to, you know, be into art like Lauryn Hill and sing and, you know, just be pro female movement, like
whatever it is, like you want to foster.
You just
that.
Want the foster support that I never had. Like
And that's part of the reason why you coach and train.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because you want to give that love and know, because you felt that emptiness.
You know, in the moment, no, but it was after and thinking, just because my granny fostered an environment of love. So, you know, like, yes, kids, we're in the theta stage, they say, you know, but When you feel love, you don't feel lack. So I would tell people, my granny is mom and dad. Like, I never thought it was bad. Yeah.
That's my quote of the week for next week. When you feel love, you don't feel lack. I love it.
You don't. And I never thought it was unnormal to not have a dad around. It wasn't until I got to college.
Same.
And, you know, you fellowship with your teammates. You share your stories where they come from. And like, me and James, the only one in the room, like,
I ain't have one.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, my dad never, my mom said he left when I was about two. Mm-hmm. But I understand the importance of a good father, especially like a black father in a child's life.
Yes,
our first kids. And you can see that happiness. You can see the support. But most importantly, you can see they feel safe with dad. I've coached children. I've been around children with just mom.
Wow.
The children aren't safe. And it's progressive in their reaction and their feelings.
That's amazing how innate that is. In all of us. You know, you and me both not having dad. And then knowing what it was that love was there, but there was a void. Mm-hmm. And then we didn't have to seek that, so to speak. We also understood that we have to give that. Yeah. Once we became men, we were like, and that's part of the reason I coach. You know what I mean? I coached my daughter's soccer team for years.
Yeah,
I ain't never played soccer day in my life.
One day.
I'm going to teach. I'm going to learn this sport for her. And then I'm going to give that and then protect my community. You know what I'm saying?
True indeed.
And then I never forget something else you just said, man, that just blew me away. You know, that security of that father. I never forget the first time me and my ex took my daughter outside at night. Mm-hmm. We went to Third Street Promenade.
Oh, yeah.
Took her out there. She was about two and a half. And I put her down, and she was enamored. Like, it was just too much. It was dark outside. It was too many people. It was too much movement. Because we always kept her in a protective space.
Yeah.
So she was never around that many people at one time. And she was like, no, daddy, hold you, hold you. And her mom was like, no, I can hold you. She said, no, I need daddy.
Yeah.
Bro. She said it clear as day, bro. She jumped up on me and she was like a koala bear, bro. She gripped me around my neck and wrapped her legs around my chest and was holding me like I could have let her go and she wouldn't have fallen.
Because she felt safe.
She felt safe.
She was secure.
That blew me away. I was like, and her mom was like, wait, you don't want me to hold you? She was like, no, daddy.
I need daddy I need daddy. And it's interesting just hearing you speak about that. I got a roommate. She got two younger children, 11 and her daughter's 9.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I used to work in mental health with the children 5 to 12, 13 to 17.
Yeah.
I see lack. I know these things.
Right.
And I grew up without it. So
right. It's immediate.
It's immediate like trigger.
I know exactly what you're going through.
I know what you're going through. I think I'm getting better knowing how to fix it, but her daughter is acting out in a way. And the other day she was asking me a question, her mom, and I said, your daughter misses daddy. Her dad was in her life up until 5 and they got divorced, 4 or 5.
Okay.
But his hold on her already created safe. The daughter doesn't feel safe.
Mm.
Mom's dating different men.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy black. Mom can date different race of men.
Mm.
It's not daddy, and it's not daddy's voice. So children, is I'm sure you know, you got them in the womb. They say the fetus hears daddy's voice more prominent than mom's if dad is around. And then, you know, after birth, when it comes out, it's like automatically searching for dad's ears,
bro,
more than mom's.
I got a story about that too.
And so yeah, like, you know, I read about this stuff because I want to be a better father. Like, not better, because I don't know what bad fathering is. I never had it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not jaded or I'm not mad. It's just I never had it. So
respect.
It's but I know
you want to be the best version.
Absolutely, because I know what it's like having basketball games You got to hop in the car with your friends and they daddy take you home. Mm-hmm. Like, I never had, my granny only made it to my senior night basketball and football. She missed it because my dumb ass mama took the car on the drug binge. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, granny, why would you give her your car? You know she'd be gone for hours. Yeah. But my own granny missed my last basketball game where I had to stand with a friend's mom who thought I would be dead by the age of 18. Mm-hmm. And she first met me shooting dice. Well, I'm from L.A., goddammit. We just live in Corona now. Like, my mama in the house.
This is
my
what
mama
we do.
From Watts. She went the lot growing up.
Yeah.
She hood. She sell drugs at home.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I look at my mom. And Pac said this years back. The void with him and mom and how he felt he could have been a better son. I asked myself, and looking at my mom, and you say, my mom acting out because she's scared. Mm-hmm. She just almost got her children killed.
Defense mode.
What can a woman do to men who have this built up testosterone and this aggression from their lack of love growing up, and then they're in an environment that fosters death, that fosters take, that fosters... like, no type of love. Well, I never was mad at my mom. I just always looked at it like, how could you talk to the children you birthed the way you did? But missing my dad, bro, I'll be honest with you, I never once missed him. I never once thought, like, what would it be like to have a dad? Never once.
Really?
Really, I just, I, like I said, maybe.
That's dope.
Because... after we almost got killed, my granny came in that spot of, I need security, where I think the first person you get, you're like, that's mom and daddy, it's safety,
I'm
good now.
I'm gonna lock into this, yes.
So it's even how I've turned out, when I would date chicks, college, and even now, like, I don't like sleeping at girls' house, I don't feel safe. Even when girls sleep with me, I never really let a lot of women stay the night with me. I felt unsafe, like either by myself or by my granny, and was codependent to that for many years. We won't talk about the traumas, but I know
we'll double back.
When I have kids, like, I'll be there, you know.
Oh, yes.
One side, you want kids to be free, grow, develop into your personality. And
absolutely.
It's like, all my works is to show my kids, you can be whatever you want because your dad came from less and strove to be more. Okay. And I don't want my children to make any excuse. I don't want them to ever be in fear. I don't want them to be in lack. And this is nothing about material. Because as we get older, we don't remember fucking certain shoes and jeans. We don't remember certain shirt, but we all remember how we felt. Our first kiss, the first time we were hugged when we could remember, the first time affection. We remember all of that. And you say, if your memory of dad, it's a lack, I'm sure you lack somewhere. So, of course, like you said, with coaching, I was the best coach I could be because I'm motivated to not fail children like I may have felt that my dad or other men failed me. So,
dead on with that one, brother. Well done.
Thank you.
Well said. Well said.
Appreciate
it. I like how you put that.
Yeah, it's
that's dope. I get a lot of compliments, man, about, you know, my coaching style, because, like you said, I come from the same mindset. Like, and somebody, I don't know if I told you this, but one of my ex players' father reached out to me the other day and offered me a scholarship to go to Pennsylvania at the next month.
Flight paid for,
hotel paid for, and the whole class paid for.
It's just like a 3-day weekend type thing?
3-day weekend, bro, for lacrosse. He knows good and doggone well I don't know nothing about lacrosse.
But you know you're a good teacher.
But he know I'm a good teacher, and he know I'm a good coach. And that was a blessing, because I never played soccer growing up. I learned the game for my daughter. And his daughter was on my team. But, man, we won ships. Bro, we went, man, we were all over SoCal, bro.
Yeah.
We were all over SoCal winning ships, bro. So the fact that he sees that in me, you know what I mean, to bless me with this opportunity to get a whole new sport in, I'm like, I'm about to take this.
Man, you should.
So Lord knows, you know, I might be winning ships in a whole new sport that I've never played.
What? Take the black girls and create black lacrosse and then go dominate. Why not?
And the dope thing is, hey, the dude is white.
I know.
The dude is, you know what I'm saying? So he sees it in me like, yeah. It only, you know, I don't judge race like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I judge hearts. You know what I mean? Absolutely. You either a good person, because it's niggas in every race. You know what I'm saying?
You ain't lying.
It's niggas in every race. Like,
you ain't lying,
it's
bro.
All kind of BS out here.
Yeah.
And I ain't got, you know, I don't have no hate for nobody. You know, because I even got to watch some of my own people sometimes. You know how that go.
Absolutely.
So I really don't judge race, but the blessing is that this man saw something in me and was like, let me introduce you to this whole new sport and put you up on game and, you know, put you out here. And I'm like, damn. So, you know, just the whole version of me being a good man, you know, me being a good coach, you know, me protecting my girls, you know, like, because I don't have a son. I would love to, but, you know, the blessing is I got a daughter and I'm a real man and I protect my squad.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
And man, all costs.
At all costs. And I'm going to give these girls, man, and I'm going to give you this too, man. It's a quote I try to live by myself. Every day is a good day to get better. You know, when you're dealing with children, it's funny because you say you can't deal with them, you know, too young. You like to talk to the older kids because, you know, you can talk to them a certain way. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
I remember that conversation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
I can get at them.
Yeah, I can get at them. I can,
because
I like to relay analogies. And
correct.
The younger ones aren't dating yet. They're not emotionally, you know,
strong enough.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, so you say, I can relate. Like, I know right now class is kicking your ass. A five-year-old ain't tripping off no class. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, but you're right. It takes a little bit more patience. What's crazy,
yes.
Outside of sports, bro, I'm super good. Like, I love little children.
Yes.
Like, they're playing for them. I'm good with them. But it's just teaching.
But
my mind,
you got that competitive gene. You like, you just like, look, man, I need you to get this so you can go out there
get
and
your
be a
sorry.
Dog.
Get your sorry. You know
get
what?
Your sorry,
I'm
but out there.
Get out of here.
And get better.
Yeah.
Do better. But every day is a good day to get better. That was my quote with the girls.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, every day, every rep, every day is a good day to get better. Every day is a good day to get better. I would drill that into them.
Yeah.
And then by mid-season, they would start seeing it and then believing in themselves. Like, oh my God, I am getting better. You know? And then knowing that not just for children, we as adults are continuing to get better, you know? And just the growth and maturation process, man, for us all. You know, the humility behind knowing that we're here for not just ourselves, like we were saying, but for each other as a community, as a village, and loving and growing.
True,
you know?
True indeed.
And our experiences are not just for ourselves.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. And I think that's what makes storytelling so interesting, because it's typically involved with somebody else. Like, like, you know, your story, like, man, I don't know, you went to some wild theme park. Like, if it wasn't with a friend or something, people are like less prone to believe. It's like, come on, man, you know, but just like, yeah, man, me and my boy, this is like, okay, I could almost validate that story. But
correct.
In building that community, I think, and like, my thoughts change every day because I really get better every day, Mark. Like,
amen.
I'm on some stuff where I write this down. Yesterday was yesterday. Tomorrow is a new day to get better. And I write this. I'm going to take a picture for people one day because they all think I'm crazy anyway. I put my sales grow on this piece of paper. I've been writing that line for 10 days. They say people hear this whole 21-day habit.
Mm-hmm.
People need to stop listening to people. I got a heuristic style of learning. And maybe it comes from my impediment of my learning disability growing up. I just don't believe what people say. So I go test it. But the real truth to change, it's a 30-day process. So if every day you wrote, I'm a king, every fucking day after 30, your mind, body, and cells will start acting like a king.
Mm-hmm.
If you slip up any day in that 30, don't write it and don't say it to yourself repetitively, you won't be it. So
I like that.
And understanding that, I say, well, my coach used to always tell us, get better no matter what in college. Mm. And when I started coaching, my first job at Sylmar, I used to always tell the kids, no matter what happened, I'd leave, hey, get better, dude. And when you say it, the kids feel you're genuine. If it's in that space in which you know you are lending your expertise, it became contagious. Well, even the head coach would say my sayings because he said, like Coach say, Coach Chess say, get better. So I wouldn't be there at times, you know, living in Inglewood, driving out there in the summer. They not paying, and you know, but my influence.
Yeah, that's that impression, yeah. That
because
influence, yeah. And that's with them.
Yeah, but they felt that Coach Chess gets better every day.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. I had a coach, man. I played quarterback in high school, and we had a running back coach. And he used to always, at the end of the drills, at the end of the night, you know, we had to run our sprints or our staggers or whatever it was, you know, finish. And he used to say, finish strong. Yeah. Bro, he was a running back coach. He wasn't even my position coach. But all I used to hear him say was, finish strong. Yeah. Bro, when I tell you every day's a good day to get better and finish strong, like he left that impression on me. So when I became a coach, man, ask any of my girls I've ever coached. I've been coaching 9 years now. What did Coach Mark teach you? Every day is a good day to get better and finish strong.
Yeah.
And that's funny, like, you know, he wasn't even my position coach. Uh-huh. But something that he used to always say, that repetition, you get what I'm saying? That every night.
That unconscious. He was hearing it, like, say, he was over here.
He fed me.
That's when your brain is working. They say, like, when you're occupied. Like, I just recently learned this. And, you know, I'm not taking it too far off the dad side. Youngster.
We'll get back to it. It's all life, bro.
Yeah, you got to follow the energy. He, 21-year-old. Because I want to learn the piano and the guitar.
Okay.
He said he just picked it up and just... Now he's 2 years later, he's working in the industry. He didn't give me the artist's name. I wasn't asking. But now he has his own production company.
Wow.
And just repeating something because he said he heard somebody tell him, like, man, it's not that hard to learn a guitar. Just go buy it and start playing the songs you like. Mm. So, you know, you repeat, like, certain behaviors.
Yes.
It's hardwired. But, no, that's the point.
I get what you're saying.
Why I brought him up. He told me this. Your best ideas come when you're driving. I never knew that.
I love to drive.
And I play the jazz music, he said, because safety is your first priority.
Absolutely.
So we can be talking here, feel a red light, push the brake light. Mm-hmm. We're going to do that. Mm-hmm. But since we're focused there, mentally stimulated, we're taking everything in. So when he said it, I'm like, that's why sometimes, bro, I be dreaming while I be driving these people.
Oh, yeah.
I get up on the red light, like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, be put in dream state and, you know, just driving helps produce those unconscious thoughts. And your coach was saying the right things.
Man, finish strong, baby. It's finish strong.
That was my saying in 2017. That was
powerful.
Coaching in modern day and the kids almost quit on them. Just in a place where it no longer served me. I wasn't happy. I'm sleeping at the stadium for a week. I'm at a hotel, no car. And I tried to quit on the kids. And I start writing the resignation letter. And halfway through, God said, this not why we just put you through this. Like, I put you here to be in these children's life for whatever reason right now.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment and seeing that, Like you know, bro. I mean, you know, you know his family. He once said this to me after. I don't remember if it was a game or practice, maybe just in the locker room. Like, man, Coach Chess, and on text, like, you're gonna be a good dad one day.
You're gonna be a great dad.
Thank you. And you know, knowing his father, I've learned to be the parent I'm going to be by taking only the good from fathers that I think is good, understanding my weaknesses and my opposite of good and saying I need to eliminate all of that. I don't, like, my kid doesn't need to feel that side just because his life will be different, but because I know what a good father feels like, I take from my friends who are dads. I take from coaches who are dads. Yes. I take, when I was growing up, I would always go to friends' houses with dads and unconsciously watch them with their wives. If it's touching their wives for security or the safety, like, I have to take in all of that, man. Yes. I have to learn. I had nobody teaching me.
Man, that's funny you say that, bro, because I did the same growing up. Two things. One, growing up, not having dad, what I would do was I would see a man and try my best to emulate the best qualities, because I realized, like, some people, you know, we all got our strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
So, and even with, to this day, every time I meet somebody, I try to find the goodness in them, the best quality, and emulate it. Like, yeah, how can I apply that to my life? Mm. You know what
I'm
saying?
That. I like that.
And what's funny, another void, filling another void unconsciously, not subconsciously, but unconsciously, all of my best friends have their dads in their lives.
That's crazy.
And, bro, I've never called them Mr. Such and Such. I've never called them by their first name. Every one of them I call Dad. Mm-hmm. Dad, what's up, man? Dad. Like, if you my boy and I roll with you, your dad my dad too now. Yeah, I mean, I'm your adopted son now.
You know,
now,
just like your boy, our boy Anthony, yeah, you know, when we would hoop and I would call him Pops, he, yes, thought it was demeaning. It's like, bro, no, really? It's respect. Like,
really?
Because, remember, I shit talking, yeah, you know, that one time I think we were downtown, he started talking mess, and yeah, I killed him.
Yeah.
And you know, when I get in those moments, when I kill you, I'm coming with a dagger, I'm attacking. And he thought, you know, and we cleared it, but he thought I was saying Pops like old man. And it's like, bro, no, I'm like, your son cool, like, you good people,
yeah,
your energy,
you
like,
my dad too,
like, you Pops, like, yeah, and it's a respect thing. Yeah. But, you know, it's funny, yeah, with friends, man, when you respect older men, I think it's just natural for, yeah, any man. You know, you can be 60 and you meet a 40-year-old dude as a dad. You're like, man, that's Pops. Like,
that's
he a
Pops
dope,
too.
He a dope dad. Like, I'm learning from him. So,
yeah,
to me, it don't even matter the age. If a man is, yes, doing what a man is supposed to do, I think
you gotta respect that.
Respect
man.
It and emulate, yeah, like you said, his good and his great qualities.
Amen. Amen. I like that. So, we're gonna end it off on this. You know, the thing that scares me most is knowing that one day I'm not going to be here and my child is going to have to, I don't want to say fend for herself, but she's going to be responsible. But and even the fact that, not even thinking about death, like thinking about the fact that she has to go off into this world, go off to school, go off to college one day, you know, find her a man, you know, like, damn, like, did I give you everything I was supposed to give you? Did I, you know, show you the proper things that a man is supposed to show you in order for you to get what you needed? Does that make sense? Like, do you know what the image of a man that you need is, you know what I mean? Did I provide that for you? You know? So I try to ask, like, how do I say this? What is something that it's very important, one principle, maybe a couple of them, what are some main principles that you would want to instill in your child?
One is powerful, what you're saying, and even, you know, like, it's interesting that you're thinking like that, and I don't have children, and it's funny, because the other day I said, man, one day I'm going to have kids, and, you know, I'm getting,
yes,
older, and you say,
yes,
and I'm going to die, too.
Damn,
and, you know, I'm going to die, too. And then, yeah, you know, you would have only had, however, if it's 20, 30 years with your children. And, yeah, then I start asking myself, you know, like, well, damn, that's why I've been going crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, what I'm doing is not even so about me. It's, yes, making sure a legacy is set in place.
Amen.
So they can theme in a, you know, yes, in a way where they don't have to go through some of our stuff, but,
yeah,
if it's the biggest principle, or if it's two words or three, depending on and the expression, if you use it, is never quit,
mm,
and never give up. I don't, like, I'm raising my granny, who raised me so free and vast, like the Pacific Ocean. I could do what I wanted to do,
mm,
was controlled by her influence. But more than, because she never said don't quit.
Mm-hmm.
I watched her never quit.
Mm.
Like, she take me to the doctor, broken ankle, be in the emergency room or two. And now we're in Orange County, she got to go to El Segundo to work.
Mm-hmm.
So I see my granny never quit. So,
okay,
I can never quit So my children, I don't care what you go through, fall 100,000 times, because maybe that 100,000th one, it'd be the one that sparks everything. So
fall,
I don't
fall like, down
I,
seven, get up eight, baby.
Yeah, I don't want to hear. Maybe you're going to get excuses. That's just part of growing up and as you learn. But I believe if I set the right example that they can just watch and mimic, they'll understand that. Well, since dad don't quit, I won't quit. And if they don't quit, they will. Like my granny said, if you want it bad enough, be willing to work for it and never quit. Of course, and wanting it, but those three things, you know, go coincide. So my child could never quit. And that I do think of, because people ask me, well, Chester, you're on your way to this major success. And if it's a fear, which I have any, zero, I say, how can I make my kid tenacious? If it's this grit thing that Angela Duckworth talks about, and she mentions her daughter, who I feel if your parents have master and PhDs and you make over $250,000, it's hard for you to develop grit. So I even think, say, well, Chester, do we build a house that's run down? So for 12 years, the child feels he's in a run down. Do you tell your wife, like, we all the way, man, I think about this stuff because I know my financial windfall is in the billions. And you say, well, I don't want my kids to be superficial. I don't want to be entitled. I want them to serve. And that's why my book, at the end, my last prayer from the wife part to my children is, come into this world, be good people. Be part of the good. Don't be part of the bad. Represent the change. Yeah, the sibling rivalry, you say, you can't stop that. That's just going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I feel if I put it out there in the universe and then I show them, they'll never quit. And as long as they do that, like, I'm happy as a father.
I like that. Resilience. Okay. Go ahead and tell us the title of the book, as well as how to get access to it.
Okay, so for those who don't know me, Chester Lee Coleman. I'm an author now. I just still say I'm a writer. Just released my first book titled Naked, subtitled The Truth. It's available on Kindle through Amazon right now. I'm about to kill Amazon if they don't approve my freaking my cover for my paper book. But today, I do have a PDF copy that I can email people that want to read it now and who don't want to go the Kindle route. The email is chesterleecoleman@gmail.com. My Instagram handle is IamChesterColeman, all one word. My Facebook is Chester Coleman. I'll be on there later today or tomorrow, but just type Chester Coleman in Google. I played football in college. I'm searchable, but it's a good book, and we talk about moms, we talk about grannies, love and life and relationships, and where my childhood created one good thing and how it hurt in others. So I think I wrote it very well. I wrote it with a lot of love, and it healed me. So
that's beautiful, man. I'm excited about checking it out, man. And I wrote a letter to my dad recently, you know, in order to get my healing out. So I want you to read my letter too, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would love to get your feedback on it, you know, because you're a very introspective man, and I have a lot of respect and love for that. So, hey, I just want to thank you all for tuning in. This has been another episode of the Dadcast. My name is Mark. Reach out to me, the Mark of Genius at IG. Also, you can reach out to me at themarkofgenius@gmail.com. I would love to hear your comments and questions. Peace and love. Thank you again for your time. And I get with you guys soon. So hopefully, you know, y'all learn something from this and we all can grow. Let's each one teach one, and iron sharpens iron. Be great.